You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. All right, so, when you're done, Ed.
I'm sorry, were we doing a show?
Yes we are. You know, when I was a student pastor,
the cold never bothered me any day.
One of the most valuable things I learned as a student pastor was how to preach with interruptions.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Brother, can I just encourage you? Let it go. Let it go.
Okay. Well,
the cold never bothered me anyway. Well, you know, I'm in Chicago, bro. It is freezing in Chicago. So I'm living Frozen.
Yeah, one of our friends, James Watson from the Salvation Army in Canada, he tweeted me.
James Watson!
Yeah, he tweeted me and he was like, "May it snow where you are like it would in Alberta." And I was like, well, if it snowed in Nashville like it did when I was in Alberta, I think the apocalypse would happen because there's no infrastructure to even get rid of quarter of an inch of snow.
No, it's no question. And it was funny because everyone like makes fun of Southerners, but you know, I mean, when it snows and it warms up, it freezes, it goes to ice, nobody can drive on ice.
No,
I mean, it just can't be done.
Yeah. And everyone decides to have French toast because milk, bread and eggs are always the first things to be cleared out of grocery stores down here.
Yeah, well, they get milk, they get bread, they get toast, because everyone needs French toast.
Yeah, exactly. It warms you up. Sugar. And what's funny is I always have maple syrup in our, we always have maple syrup in our house.
That's so Canadian.
I know, everyone thinks it's hilarious because I'm Canadian, but I was like, Aunt Jemima does not stand up to maple syrup. It does not. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get into today's question. All right, so we're going to read a review from Last Crucible. All right, so
the person's name is Crucible?
No, this is their ID. I love everyone's ID when they leave a review for us. This one is Last Crucible. And
Okay, so that's not, they can use any name they want.
Yeah, exactly. I think they get creative because they probably know we're going to read this. Five stars.
They should just make up names. And yeah. Then I can make up some names that you'll read out loud and people will be like, you know, like when you call the high school, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
From The Simpsons, you know, Bart Simpson would always do that. All right. So five stars, a definite addition to every toolbox. And here's the review. This is the foremost podcast on church planting available. Although quirky at times, Ed, Daniel, and Todd are proven leaders with a wide range of experience and knowledge to pass along to those of us who are planting in every context. I look forward to every episode. Fun fact, episode 101 answered a question from a pastor in Clarksville, Tennessee, home of Fort Campbell in the 101st Airborne Division. I served there twice and my three kids were born there. Keep doing what you do, gentlemen. This is making a difference. All right.
Yeah, but whoa. Who's quirky?
What do you mean?
He said, though, quirky at times. So who's quirky?
Who's quirky?
He said quirky. Did you not read the review just a second ago?
Yeah.
In there it says, well, though quirky, I mean,
when we make fun of each other and you sing.
You have the word quirky in Canada, yes, right? You know what this means.
I know what that means. I think it refers to the times when you sing off tune and we make fun of each other.
Let it go. And that's not off tune, for the record.
No.
That's quite on tune.
Yes. So Last Crucible, right, so and quirky. Honest, and you know what? I'm just remembering this now. Last time I read a review, I forgot. But for the person I read the review for last time, be sure to email me, daniel@newchurches.com, and we will get you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen. All right, so that's actually Dragon. If you remember back a few episodes ago, Dragon Rapido. So Dragon Rapido and Last Crucible, shoot me an email and we will get you some swag. Well, today we are going to be talking about mother churches. Sending agencies,
mother churches.
Yeah, organic church plants. So let's listen into the question.
Hello, Daniel, Ed, and Todd. This is Steve Davis from Florida. We are an organic church plant. We have no mother church or sending agency to assist us with funding. Our denomination does do matching funds. However, we obviously have to raise funds to a certain amount before they will match them. Are there any practical tips that you can give on this topic? Thank you.
So no mother church sending or sending agency looking to raise funds that can be matched in their organic church plant. What are your thoughts, Ed?
My thoughts are, why are they raising funds?
if they're an organic church plant?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it depends on how they're using the word, but I mean, so if you're an organic church plant and where you know, again, what does that word mean? You know, in some cases in churches, organic means we don't have a plan. And so it just means poor planning. But, you know, when Neil Cole uses the word, which is what I'm guess he's saying is, you know, organic churches are, you know, relation-based communities that are focused on discipleship, you know, that are seeking to multiply rather than to expand, those kind of stuff. Yeah. So assuming that's the case. So what I would say, is I wonder if the question here is that maybe what we need is a different approach to money that matches the missiology. If we just kind of look at traditional church planting, you take a church planter, maybe they even go through seminary, you fund them, you send them out full time for 3 years, you know, funding, and maybe it steps down. And so what happens though is then people want to, you know, now that organic church planting has become kind of a bigger thing, what they want to do is they want to do more, you know, more churches like that, mm-hmm. where you sort of relationally connect with people and kind of over time, it could be 5, 7, 10 years, sort of disciple into existence a new church organically. That's typically what we're talking about. But the problem is I wouldn't use that funding model. I think funding for church plants should be based on a model that produces a self-sufficient congregation in a reasonable amount of time. That's one of the basic principles of missiology. That's a Henry Venn, Rufus Anderson, the three self principle is the idea that it would be self-governing, self-propagating, self-supporting. And so that might be a 2 to 5 year process, but you are funding somebody to do that. And so it's a mission, you typically, often a full-time person or maybe bivocational, but the organic model isn't looking to have a fast pathway, which is what missiology generally does around a three self model, not looking to have a fast pathway to self-sufficiency. So I don't think you'd want to fund it that way. So, and so part of the difficulty is, as I used to run this thing called the Nehemiah Project in my denomination, where we sent out 100 plus church planters last year we were there, but most of them were, you know, fully funded. I mean, I guess the vast majority are fully funded, but here's where it got tricky. We increasingly had people say, well, I want to plant a organic type church community, but there was no pathway to self-sufficiency within the window of funding we could do, mm-hmm. which is 3 to 5 years at the most. And so really you've got to then move away from traditional funding models and instead to basically you look at bivocational long-term or look at, I mean, bivocational sometimes means you have one job and you're working towards another job. It might just be non-vocational in total. In other words, you might be a school teacher and you've got an organic house church community that's meeting, you know, in your living room and then multiplying to others, but with no plan. So I guess, so again, this is where I'm puzzled. Why would you raise funds to support staff, for example? Because that's really your only expense. If you're an organic church, you know, you've got, what are you going to buy songbooks? I mean, what are you purchasing? It's just a group of people in a living room who are living life together, doing the New Testament functions of a church. So if you're raising funds for staff, doesn't that undermine the idea of the church plant, which is to multiply without the restrictions of staff and funding and things of that sort? But again, it's tough to tell because it's just a short question, you know, that I listened to via audio. So what am I missing here? Daniel, help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
I agree with you there. Part of it is you have, it depends on who Steve is reading or listening to, or maybe some of the paradigms of church planting he is looking at. And especially if he's planting without a mother church or sending agency, there might be a little bit less of a hey, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to help you. So depending on what Steve's reading, in one sense, you talk about church planning and funding is always one of those topics. And in another sense, you read a book by Neil Cole, Organic Church, and you're like, well, how else should I plant a church except other, you know, Neil Cole can be pretty persuasive with his stories and his models and his examples. So it's like, oh yeah, of course I want to plant an organic church. So sometimes you get these disparate models and you put it together and you're like, okay, well, I got to plant a church. Other people have a prospectus. I should have a prospectus. Other people raise funds. I should raise funds. But we talk about this in Planting Missional Churches in the chapter on funding, where we give a few different models of funding. And one of the ones that I'd recommend, Steve, that you pick up the book and read is when we talk about reverse tier funding, the idea that, hey, if you can get funds, but if you, especially if you're an organic church plant, get a full-time job, get a full-time job, connect with the lost, develop friendships, be engaged in your community. And if you can get funds, if people are willing to do that, save that, put it into the church account and use that for ministry expenses, but really kind of leverage that so that maybe as the church grows and your time is needed a little bit more for leadership development and you need to cut back your hours from your 40-hour week plus job, that's when you can begin taking that salary. So the idea is not use all 100% of the funds until it, you know, goes away after a few years, but actually use it more and more as the years go by.
That's good. That's good. So I just think different approaches to church planting mm-hmm. require different funding strategies.
Yeah.
So I don't, and again, I apologize to the caller if I've been on the radio today. I apologize if that actually wasn't his question. And if it wasn't, I think it might help some people anyway.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't his question, please send that in again. Mm-hmm. Give us a little more clarity and we'll be happy to help.
Yeah, definitely. So thanks again, Steve, for sending that in. And for everyone who just continuing to listen and support this podcast, we do appreciate it. As our listenership continues to grow month over month, we appreciate that you guys are benefiting from this. Please leave a rating and review for us on iTunes because that does help. And share about our podcast on social media. Thanks again.